Russ and I recently started using Via Hemp products, and let me tell you how much of a game changer they are. So I have such a hard time with sleep. I wake up so many times throughout the night. When I wake up, it takes me forever to fall back to sleep, especially on the nights that I have work in the morning. So an hour before bed, I pop a Flow State, which is one of Via's CBD gummies. And I literally just drift off to sleep and I do not wake up. If I wake up, I fall right back to sleep. Russ really loves Via Hemp edibles as well because he suffers from a lot of nerve pain, especially since his accident. He'll pop a gummy, his have THC in them, and he sleeps through the night and the nerve pain doesn't wake him up. When I tell you that this sponsor of ours sent us an amazing sample pack with tons of gummies, we are so happy with them. They taste amazing. And they have literally a product for everything, for relaxation. They have one called Cloud Nine that makes you feel really good. If you want to spice it up in the bedroom, they literally have a gummy for everything. So if you are 21 and up, you can get 15% off and a free pack of gummies with our exclusive code WIFEOFCRIME1 at viahemp.com. That's VIIAHEMP.com, and our code is WIFEOFCRIME1.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it's me, Jess. So I wanted to give you a little bit of a warning before we start the show. This episode contains some pretty salty language. To be honest, a little more salty than the language we have in our other episodes, especially at the end when Russ finds out the conclusion of this case. There are some F-bombs dropped. Just wanted to let you know, in case some younger ears are listening or you're not feeling like hearing F-bombs. You have been warned. Okay, here we go.
This podcast is an unscripted, unedited conversation about true crime. We take the cases very seriously, but I don't take myself seriously at all, and neither should you. Welcome to Wife of Crime.
So, Russ, I've told you a lot of cases of people who are convicted of crimes they didn't commit and in jail innocently. But I haven't told you a case of someone who is clearly guilty but is still walking free. I never thought I'd cover this case because it makes me so mad. Here we go. This is the murder of Kaylee Anthony. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Wife of Crime, a true crime podcast where I tell my husband, Russ, all my favorite true crime stories, and he reacts to them.
What's up, folks? It's Russ, where I do a podcast with the person that is statistically most likely to kill me.
Oh.
And I found out she had life insurance on me, you know, this year.
Life insurance on each other, Russ. You just didn't know that. There's life insurance on me as well.
But we did not sign up for life insurance. There's policies floating around that I did not know about.
It's so funny. I was going to try to change up the intro, but I'm not really good at like being spontaneous. So I was going to say a true crime podcast that we've recently found out is not for the Karens.
Where'd you get that from?
Because people, when they make bad reviews, when they write 1-star reviews, they're usually sensitive or annoyed by something you say.
Oh, who cares? That's funny. That means like we're making people react.
No, I know. I just thought it would be a funny thing, but I didn't do it.
Well, so, you kind of did.
Kind of. So we're back for another episode. This one's gonna be a doozy.
So I'm curious. So there's some dudes on here that listen to the podcast with their wives, mm-hmm. and there's some dudes here that probably hear it in the background and probably like, oh my god, another podcast of her trying to figure out how to kill me and get away with it.
Shut up.
But what? So this week we were watching Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we turned it on, and we were under my profile. And Jess is like, man, there's some really good shows here. Like, and then I'm like, yeah, it's my profile. I don't watch bullshit. So I wonder, like, how that is for women. Like, Jess's shows are so bad that she watches that it recommends more terrible shows for her.
My shows are not bad.
When you go on your Netflix, there's nothing to watch. She goes, I'm watching. Like, oh, they're good. I'm like, don't you click a damn thing. Because you're going to ruin it.
No, there are good shows on my Netflix. It's just I see the same recommendations all the time. So when...
No, they rotate. Because next thing you know, you click a few things on mine, I'm going to see a whole section of Jennifer Aniston movies. I'm not watching none of those.
Oh, I love it.
See?
Well, 2 weeks ago, we did a collaboration with Military Murder. And we have a bunch of new listeners from Military Murder, from Margo's... True Crime Army. They're here now listening. So thank you guys for sticking around after hearing us on Military Murder. That was so cool of her to do that, put our episode on her feed. And we're really excited to have all these new people listening.
Shout out to the military squad. Appreciate you guys sticking around and giving us a ton of good reviews. You guys are very active. I appreciate it. Stick around. And my girl Margot, aka Margot.
Margo.
I have nothing against letter T. I like sounding out every letter.
You're so weird.
Make sure you check out Military Murder. Really good episodes over there. One of the few podcasts that I listen to.
Yeah, definitely. Really.
You know what? I think it's the only podcast I listen to that people aren't drunk in. Unless she's drinking. All my other podcasts, people are always drunk. Like Drink Champs, Joe Rogan. And
true, Joe Rogan's like stoned sometimes too.
And what's the other one? I listen to No Sleep Podcast where they tell like scary stories.
Mm-hmm. It's true. She might have a couple cocktails. You never know. For me, I can't record with having cocktails because I slur my words too much. But
oh, I have something else.
What?
Who else is addicted to videos of the crate challenge?
Oh my god, there's gonna be so many people going into the ER with a crate challenge, like broke their back, broke their arm, broke their neck. These crate challenges are crazy.
That's just natural selection though.
Yeah.
So I'm addicted. I can't stop watching.
You can't. It's true.
I'm doing the Jess dry heave laugh over here. If you ever notice, listen to Jess's dry heave laugh. It's in there often. You think she's quiet, but she's going. There it goes.
You're ridiculous. All right. Anything else? Oh, you have to do the patron shout outs. We have a bunch of patrons this week. A bunch of new signups. So, Russ, time to shine.
So, this week, our Patreons are... We have a lot. Thanks, everybody. We got Chanel, Ashley, Desiree, Rose, Dawn, Jessica, Lenny, Stephanie, Michelle, Tiffany, and Keith. So, cheers to you guys.
Yes, cheers to you guys.
Appreciate all of you. Stick around. I'll say a lot more things that are wrong and make everyone upset.
Yeah, our Patreon, we do tell a lot of like personal stories on there. We've got a bunch of episodes of True Crime and Chill episodes where we review documentaries. We also have a Blabber Time episode that people really enjoyed. It was literally just me and Russ sitting around the table drinking for about an hour talking shit. And people really enjoyed that.
I like the True Crime and Chill more because it gives me a subject.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You want to do the review of the week?
Oh, I forgot the review of the week. I was about to mess up my streak.
Yeah, I reminded you. Maybe I shouldn't have because I wanted to see if you remembered.
So this week I'm going to do two. It's the first time I ever did that. So this week's runner-up is, it's from Stephanie Ridd. It's Obsessed with 3 exclamation points, 5 stars. Love it, exclamation points. She loves exclamation points. Russ eventually grows on you, ... Jess is amazing, and honestly, I have no idea how she puts up with Russ 24/7, but I guess I do find myself laughing at his stupid comments at times, too. So, shout out to you, Stephanie, because you're only the runner-up.
Oh, leave her alone. No.
And this week's review of the week goes to Mr. Man of Music. It's 5 stars. They're all right. That's it. That's the review of the week. Yeah, I missed the Man of Music.
I thought that was hilarious when I saw it.
There were so many good ones this week, so next week I'll have more. I did 2 this week because the review of the week was super short.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks to you guys. Keep them coming. I'm going to keep reading them. If they come in too fast and too much, I'll start reading some on Instagram, which is at Wife of Crime Pod.
Yeah, this is Russ's project. He loves reading through the reviews and picking ones, and he also loves the ones that roast him.
I don't know if I love them. They're all right.
All right. So, for about a year, or really like as long as we've been making this podcast, and you've become fully introduced and acquainted with my true crime obsession, you've asked here and there about Casey Anthony.
I have.
You have. And usually the conversation goes a little something like this. You see a meme on Instagram about not liking kids, and it has Casey Anthony's face on it, and you laugh.
And I'm in.
And I don't.
When it's like kids in a restaurant running, and then you have her looking, like, yeah.
I get annoyed, and I say, F that bitch, that's not funny. And you say, I don't really know what she did. And I say, don't worry, because I'll never talk about her on the podcast because it makes me too mad. Well, I asked the patrons to vote because I wanted to cover another really infamous, big media frenzy case. And I gave them the choice between OJ, JonBenet, and Casey.
I'm glad we didn't do OJ.
Well, they chose her. Honestly, it is interesting to hear you react to these cases. Ones that are like super infamous, that we all know so well and have all these opinions about, but you have no idea about them. And it's interesting to hear your reactions because you're literally hearing them with fresh ears.
Do women just go research crimes?
No, we listen to a lot of true crime.
Hmm.
Just like when I told you about Scott Peterson, there were a few times in that episode that you really annoyed me, but it's important to remember that me and you are different. We were raised differently. We were raised in different environments. We're opposite sexes. And you are just a really interesting fella. So, it's good to hear other points of views.
But that's supposed to be an insult.
No, you're interesting. You're an interesting guy.
You did like...
With really interesting input.
You did like a little laugh, a little dry heave over there. Like you were not trying to mock me loud enough to hurt my feelings.
Not at all. It's not a mock. It's just you have a really funny way of looking at things. You know that you do.
I'm pretty logical.
Yes, but you also know that you look at things really funny. So, it's healthy to hear other points of views. And that's honestly the reason I created Wife of Crime. In our society nowadays, no one can disagree with someone without it being a huge freaking deal. But people are different and have different opinions, and that's okay. However, Russell, if you disagree with me on this case, you're gonna get this smoke.
Well, now, first of all, you're trying to use my expression against me, but now I have no choice but to disagree, to annoy you. The same way you posted that Instagram poll of, was that woman guilty or not guilty?
That woman, Casey Anthony, the woman we're about to talk about.
And I had to push not guilty. I had to.
You did. You did it just to troll me.
Yeah, I had to do it.
Well, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So Casey Anthony was born March 19th, 1986. I'm going to set up the stage now. I want to tell you a bit about her background, how she grew up, and what made her into the person she was later in life. Okay, so she was born March 19th, 1986, to her father, George, and her mother, Cindy. George was a sheriff's deputy, and Cindy was a registered nurse. When Casey and her brother were born, though, they decided in order for Cindy to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom, George needed to make more money. And George, working at the sheriff's department, wasn't making a lot of money. So he quit the sheriff's department and started working for the company that his father owned, which was called Anthony Auto Sales.
Shout out to the dads who work mad hard.
Shout out to them, yes. George, wait. Mom, stay-at-home moms have it hard too. Don't even start. I almost went over that.
Well, zip it. He had to get like a second job.
No, he didn't. He had to quit his job and go work for his dad.
He had to fake an injury to get disability from the previous job. Anyway. So he can make enough money to support her lavish lifestyle of getting her nails so done annoying. And buying pocketbooks.
You're so... Shut up. He's just trying to get under my skin, people. Okay.
Oh, another one star. He hates single moms.
She's not single. She's married.
Why did I say single?
Anyway... He went to work for his father at a used car lot called Anthony Auto Sales. And the problem is that his father and him didn't get along. And after one time they had a super heated argument, George actually pushed his father through a glass window.
Damn.
Needless to say, he didn't continue working there. So George and Cindy continue to try and make ends meet, and after some unsuccessful business dealings and a kind of unhealthy relationship with gambling, they decided, you know what, let's move, let's have a fresh start, so they moved to Orlando, Florida. So Casey Anthony was described as a very energetic, happy little girl with tons of friends. But the trouble with Casey really began in high school, when she started lying, and it became apparent to her family and friends that she tends to lie a lot, all the time, about literally everything.
That reminds me of that song. Why you always lying?
Exactly.
I sing that to Jess.
I don't lie. So when she was in her senior year of high school, just as an example of the type of lies she told, when she was in her senior year of high school, she just stopped attending school, but no one knew. 2 weeks before her high school graduation, her parents were like, hey, when is your cap and gown coming? Like, what's up with the graduation? What day is it? All that. And she said that her teachers forgot to order her cap and gown. That's why she hasn't gotten it yet.
The parents should be more involved in a high school student's school to know what's going on. So there needs to be some responsibility taken on their part as well.
Well, okay.
Yeah, because if just be like, oh, like, don't you have to bring a report card home? Them joints come like 4 times a year. Yeah. Where's your report card?
Fair point.
So there you go.
Well, her parents believed her, but a few days before the graduation, Casey's parents got a call from the school informing them that she was short credits from skipping so much school and just not attending, and she wouldn't be graduating. When they confronted her about this, Casey lied again. She blamed the school. She said the school messed up all her credits and classes. Her parents went so far as to attend the graduation and just tell everybody that Casey did graduate, but they messed up something and she couldn't walk across the stage. And they covered it up for her, kind of so she wouldn't look bad and so they wouldn't look bad.
Damn, so they went to a graduation for 50 other people that wasn't their kid.
Yeah.
They're frauds too. They knew, unless they're really dumb.
Well, they even had a graduation party for her and accepted gifts. Okay.
Yo, I get a college graduation party?
So
I didn't graduate, but I'll take some presents.
Needless to say, Casey learned pretty early on that her parents were pushovers and she could lie to them and she could get away with a lot of shit.
AKA slouches.
This is indicative for her future. Knowing that she could lie, get away with things with no real consequences, and have parents that would allow this and go so far as to lie for her. So, you know, in her early 20s, Casey got a job at Universal Studios as one of those people in the parks who try to sell you pictures of yourself. It's almost as bad as the you want to go to a comedy show people that are hanging out in Times Square where they just randomly walk up to you like, hey, you want to go to a comedy show? Hey, hey.
You know what's sad? That those are usually the comedians that are performing that day and they have to try to probably pack the show before the show could start.
True.
But I've been to one of those and one of them, you know, they're all right.
Yeah, they're all right. I mean, there's nothing worse than a bad comedy show, though. It's very awkward.
Yeah, you got to go, like, to the Comedy Cellar in New York. That's a pretty dope spot. Sometimes you'll see, like, big-time comedians that you know, or go to, what's the Laugh Factory on the Upper West Side?
No, Gotham.
Gotham.
Yeah.
We went one time, and it was a slow night. There was probably 20 of us in the audience, and Jerry Seinfeld came through and did a
set.
A set.
Mm-hmm. He was practicing for his Netflix special, and it happened to be my birthday. I was so happy.
Yeah, that was pretty dope. So now me and Jerry are best friends, by the way.
I
call him Jay Money.
So anyway, she was one of those people who would walk around the park and try to sell you pictures of yourself in the park.
Back then, though, that was a thing because you didn't have camera phones. Mm-hmm. So now, like, I wonder how it goes. I haven't been to an amusement park in a while. But they, when you come off the roller coaster, they have like six screens and it's everyone's picture. Mm-hmm. But I remember when camera phones first came out, they would try to stop you from taking a picture of the screen with your phone.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, what are they, like waving their hand, jumping? But you can't do that. Like, what you gonna do?
So true.
It's not against the law. It's frowned upon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of like when I don't do the dishes. It's not against the law. It's frowned upon.
Very. Frowned upon. Well, while she was working there, she met this dude named Jesse Grund. And Jesse was a security guy for the park. Casey and Jesse started dating in January. I need you to keep your dates straight, Russ. Listen, pay attention. They started dating in January of 2005. And they moved really quickly in their relationship. On the day that Casey met Jesse's parents for the first time, Jesse's dad said to him, "You didn't tell me this girl was pregnant." And Jesse said, "Nah, she's not pregnant. She's still a virgin." And his father said, No, she looks pregnant."
Oh, dip.
But Casey denies it. Members of her own family also started asking her parents, "Hey, when is Casey due? I didn't know she was pregnant." And her parents all denied it as well.
Damn, there's a sucker born every day, man.
But then when Casey was 7 months pregnant, 2 months from giving birth, so she was pretty big at this point.
It's an immaculate conception. She's about to have the Messiah.
She couldn't hide it anymore because her belly was sticking out too far. And she finally told Jesse and her parents that she was pregnant and due in August. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, sometimes you are thrown curveballs in your life. Russ and I can definitely attest to that. There have been a few times in my life where I didn't know which way to turn or what steps to take to improve my mindset. When I started therapy in 2020, it dramatically helped me. It helped me get through really tough times. It helped me understand who I am and the things I need. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So visit BetterHelp.com/wifeofcrime1 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/wifeofcrime1.
Chickens, Diet Coke, reality TV, and murder don't seem like things that should go together, but somehow they do. If you're looking for your next binge-worthy podcast and you like your true crime light on the gore, then you should check out our show, Moms and Murder, a true crime podcast hosted by myself, Mandy, and my dear friend, Melissa.
Each week, we give our take on a new crime story, balancing our delivery of facts and levity while still giving the stories the respect they deserve and making you feel like you're part of our conversation. Moms and Murder covers both the lesser known and the more familiar stories, and there are over 100 episodes to binge, so get started now. Search Moms and Murder on your favorite podcast app and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Casey starts telling everyone that Jesse is the father of the baby. But Jesse starts doing math and he realizes, wait, we didn't meet or start dating until January. We didn't start sleeping together until a little bit after that. And the baby's due in August. So I don't know if I'm the father of this kid.
So let me ask you a question. How do you think they could resolve this?
I don't know, Russ. How do you think?
The DNA show!
I knew you were going to say that at some point.
I wanted you to say it.
Oh, I thought it would be more exciting if you said it.
The DNA shop, 24-hour turnaround, whosyourdaddy.com. I don't have the domain. It's probably out there already.
Whosyourdaddy.com, maybe.
Yeah, because the Yankees used to chant that to Pedro Martinez. One day, like, they whooped him. He's a pitcher, and he was, like, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. Mm-hmm. And in the post-game press conference, he said, well, I guess they're just my daddy. And then every time he went to Yankee Stadium, they would always chant, who's your daddy?
That is funny.
Bronx fans are the best. But she could have went to the DNA shop, or they could have went on Maury.
They could have gone on Maury. Absolutely. This was prime Maury time. So Jesse sticks around anyway, though, and he's actually in the room and present at the birth of Kaylee Anthony.
What a sucker.
But a few months after little Kaylee was born, Jesse orders a paternity test, and it takes 6 weeks to come back.
24-hour turnaround.
But in that time, he got really attached to the baby. He helped take care of her. And he actually seems like a really sweet kid. And he tells Casey he wants to adopt Kaylee. And he even proposed to Casey. He seems like a really good guy, honestly.
He's probably a good guy, but he's a bit of a pushover. Like, it seems like she's drawn to pushovers. Like, her parents were a bit of pushovers. This dude's a pushover. Mm-hmm. People that would just believe anything.
So Cindy, Casey's mother, did not want them to get married because she didn't like Jesse at all for some reason. I don't know why, because this dude seems like such a good guy. But Cindy was pretty controlling and she inserted herself into situations between them a lot. So by May 2006, Casey started to change a lot as well. And she started, you know, kind of giving up on her motherly duties and wasn't really as much of a loving, caring mother as she was when the baby was first born. Jesse noticed that she stopped wanting to be with her baby, and instead she just wanted to go out and party all the time. She paid a lot less attention to her newborn, wanted to be partying all the time, and would lie to people in her life so that they would watch the baby and she could go out and drink and go to clubs and bars.
Damn thought.
Jesse didn't like this.
I don't like using that word. I'm too old for that one.
Jesse didn't like this, so he finally just cut the relationship off, and that was it.
How old was the kid at that point, do you know?
So if she was born in August, and this is May, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, 9 months old.
Okay, because I was going to say that would be traumatic to the child, but the child won't remember that.
No, yeah, she was a baby, but still, it's fucked up. So George and Cindy, despite making questionable parental decisions, they loved their granddaughter, Kaylee, so much. She and Casey moved in with them, and they just doted on this little girl. They gave her so much love, so much attention, and all the love and attention she wasn't getting from her mother, she was definitely getting from her grandparents.
Shout out to all the grandparents that raised the children's.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know why I said children's. That's not a word. But you know what I meant. Shout out to all the good grandparents. My nanny raised me probably half the time.
Mm-hmm. She was good.
Yeah, shout out to all the good grandparents. And don't forget to give them those $5 handshakes. With inflation, it's been 3% since I've been a kid. It's probably about $20 now. You gotta give them a $20 handshake. Tell them, don't tell anyone.
Yeah, we talked about that on our Patreon episode. That was funny.
All day.
Now, Casey still lies all the time. She told her parents that she was working two jobs. And in fact, she wasn't actually working at all. She was just out living life, partying all the time, and spending the night at people's houses, at her friends' houses. And she even told her friend Lauren this because Lauren always agreed to watch the baby. So she was lying to one of her quote-unquote friends and her parents. But eventually, Lauren realized she was lying because she needed to get a hold of her. So she called the store that Casey claimed she was working at as one of her jobs. And when she asked for Casey, the manager was like, there's no Casey that works here.
Do you know what kind of store it was?
It was a Foot Action.
Oh, she was out getting that action, but...
Yeah, it was a Foot Action. You know, she sold sneakers and stuff.
Oh, shout out to all my sneakerheads.
Later that year, George and Cindy go to see this financial advisor because they're having a lot of money troubles. George was actually a bit of a compulsive gambler, and he was trying to stop, and they were trying to get their finances in order. And as they're going through their finances, they realize that over the course of the last few years, Casey had been slowly taking money out of one of their accounts. And she had also used their social security numbers to open credit cards in her name. And they were now in debt solely because of her. The portion of the debt because of her equaled up to $40,000.
Wow. And that's probably like the equivalent to $100,000 now. That's probably because she wasn't beat as a child. She knew there wouldn't be a lot of consequences.
Well, you saw, as a kid, they always made excuses for her.
Yeah, you make an excuse to give you a beating.
So now Casey and her parents have a very strained relationship.
That's right, folks. I condone beatings.
Casey and her parents have a very strained relationship. They don't trust Casey, but they don't want to rock the boat too much either because she's vindictive and spiteful. And they know that if they rock the boat too much with her, she'll stop them from seeing their granddaughter, Kaylee, and they'll use Kaylee against them. In May of the following year, Casey starts dating this new dude named Tony, and their relationship also accelerated pretty fast. Tony was a college kid, a club promoter, and an aspiring DJ. And she loved it.
Typical loser.
She loved it because she loved that party lifestyle. She and Kaylee would spend a lot of time at this kid's house. So Kaylee, at this point, she's like about one years old, you know, between 1 and 2 years old.
That's when they're finally cute.
Aw.
Because when they're little babies, they look like wet mice.
Wet mice? That's funny.
Yeah, they're like...
Or some of them look fat and really cute. Some of them look like little old people.
Like bald, wrinkled, and they poop wherever they feel like it.
All right. Now, this is where the story shifts. On June 15th, 2008, Casey and her parents have a gigantic blowout fight. And the next morning, she left with Kaylee on an apparent work trip to Tampa, Florida. But this bitch don't have no job. So, in reality, she went to her boyfriend's house. What?
She reminds me of Tommy from Martin. You ain't got no job. And he's always saying he's going to work.
Exactly. So, she actually went to her boyfriend Tony's house and ended up staying there for a month. According to Tony, she arrived to the home without Kaylee. So, she leaves her parents' house with the baby. And she shows up, this is on June 15th, she shows up a couple hours later to her boyfriend's house without the baby, okay?
Dropped it off at the friend's house.
No. Over the next month, Cindy kept calling Casey and asking where they were, where is Kaylee, and every time...
But is Cindy the grandma?
Yes.
Okay. She said grandma.
Cindy, the grandma, kept calling Casey and asking where they were. Where is Kaylee? And every time, Casey had an excuse. Oh, she's with the nanny. Oh, she's taking a nap. Every night, Casey was out partying, and she was posting pictures on her MySpace, out in clubs and bars. You can look the pictures up. They're all over online, all over the internet. You know, and they're dated, so you know the times and dates that she was out, and she's telling her mom that the baby's with a nanny or whatever, and she's just out partying. One night, while driving, Casey runs out of gas, and instead of dealing with the situation, like going to get gas or calling someone for help, she just decides to leave her car in the parking lot of a check cashing place. And eventually, after a little while, the car gets towed and impounded. And they call George because this car wasn't Casey's. It was in George's name. So they call him and say, hey, we have your car. We found it in this check cashing parking lot. And now it's in the impound lot.
Wait, is George the club promoting DJ?
George is her dad.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. See, I didn't know the names. If you just said her dad and her mom. I'm not good with names. Like, if you introduce me to someone, hey, my name is George, instantly, it's gone.
Okay, so George, her dad, got this phone call from this impound lot because the car was in his name.
Okay.
So he's confused. He's like, okay, let's go. I'm going to go pick up this car and figure out what's going on and why the car is in this lot and where Casey and Kaylee are. When he goes to pick it up, both George and the dude at the impound lot were overwhelmed with the smell of death.
Oh.
Like a dead body smell. When they opened the car door, it was so strong. It was apparently just like it automatically just overtook them. And George decides, okay, let me just drive this car home. And Cindy and him open the trunk when they get home, and there's a plastic bag in there. They say that they didn't open the plastic bag. Okay. And instead, they just threw it away, and then they just started Febrezing the crap out of the car to try to get the smell out.
Well, good people aren't thinking like detectives, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I
like, you know how your mom goes around and she's like, thinks everyone's great and wants to talk to everyone and be their friend? Like,
yeah.
Your mom probably like, oh, that bag stinks. They left the garbage in there too long. She would clean it out.
Yeah.
And wouldn't, like, people that don't have these minds like that don't think like that. I don't. Like,
yeah.
I'm probably not saying it right, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. So now Cindy is pissed.
Or when I say like that, or people that wouldn't necessarily like watch true crime and they're not thinking these things.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I totally agree. But they haven't seen their daughter in a month and they haven't seen their granddaughter in a long time. I mean, I'm sure they're not thinking that. But
I would. I'm suspicious of everyone. I grew up on Scooby-Doo. And everybody is very suspicious.
Yeah.
To me.
So now Cindy is pissed. And she finds out where this guy, Tony, her boyfriend, her current boyfriend, lives. And she just pops up at his house because she's done. She's like, I'm done.
Grandma.
I want to see grandma. She's like, I want to see my granddaughter. What's going on? This shit is enough. You stole $40,000 from us. You got our car impounded. I haven't seen my granddaughter in a month. What the hell's going on? So she shows up to the house. She walks in. And Casey's just lying around on the couch. There's like bongs, weed, coke all over the table.
Oh, you got to beat this bitch up.
And Cindy says automatically, first thing, where's Kaylee? I haven't seen her or heard from you guys in a month. Where's my granddaughter?
Mm-hmm.
And Casey says, oh, no, she's with Nanny, her nanny. Her name is Zanny the Nanny.
I would have smoked her.
She's with her. Cindy says, nope, nope, nope. That's it. You're
you ain't
coming
hitting me
home.
With rhyming names.
You're coming home. I want to see my granddaughter. So they get back to the house. And as soon as they get there, Cindy calls the cops on her own daughter. And she says, she stole my money. She stole the car, got it impounded. And I want to report her. She needs to have consequences. I'm done. But while she's talking to the cops, she overhears Casey tell her brother that Kaylee, the baby, has actually been missing for a while. That Zanny, the nanny, abducted her in front of her at a park. So now Cindy calls 911 back. And she's like, oh my God, my granddaughter was taken. She's been abducted. She's been gone for a month and I had no idea. And she gets on the phone with the cops. And now the cops want to talk to Casey. Casey gets on the phone. And she sounds so nonchalant about the whole thing. And they're like, well, why didn't you call right away and report your daughter kidnapped a month ago? And she was like, well, I was just trying to figure it out myself. You know, I was trying to get in touch with this nanny. Her name is Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez.
What is she, Matlock over here?
I'm trying to, you know, make a deal with her to get my daughter back.
A deal? This sounds like bullshit. She ended up a rhyming name. What was it? Zanny the Nanny?
Well, her name is apparently Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez.
So this is a real person.
So this is a real person. So Casey was annoyed and didn't want to talk to police at the time. She seemed super irritated in the phone call. But eventually she tells them. She told the dispatcher that Zenaida Fernandez-Gonzalez was the baby's nanny, and she gave a description. And this is what her description was. She's 25 years old, about 5'7", 140 pounds. She has black hair, perfect teeth, and she's a 10. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Why would you say she's a 10 about the lady who took your kid?
So
super weird.
So basically, she was before her time. She was a 10. She could have been an Instagram model, but instead she was a nanny.
I don't know. The point is why would you even say that as a description about someone who apparently took your child in front of you?
Because this didn't happen.
So now cops...
Are they going to eventually talk to Zanny?
Yeah, eventually they are.
All right.
Now cops are getting really suspicious, and they're zeroing in on Casey.
Hello, I'm Lauren.
And I'm Michael.
And we're True Crime Guys.
What are you doing?
Oh, I thought we were doing that thing where we said the same thing at the same time.
Since when do we talk over each other?
Like every episode for the last 4.5 years.
Fair enough. We also been known to add a little bit of levity and bring new perspectives on history's most infamous killers, such as Gacy, Ramirez, BTK, and many others, as well as a healthy dose of lesser known cases, all while being the oldest true crime podcast you've never heard of. Not sure that's a good thing.
Debatable.
I'm in Las Vegas.
And I'm in North Carolina.
That doesn't stop us from getting together every week to discuss our favorite topic, Moida.
I also use my background as a musician to make an original intro song for almost every episode. Like this one about Jody Arias.
Jody, Jody, bitch, you're the scariest.
So if you like true crime, obviously you do if you're listening to this, and you don't mind a little bit of banter mixed in, give us a listen.
Alibi's hilarious.
Serial killers would not be idolized in the making of this podcast. Although many of them have physical and mental trauma in their backgrounds that explain some of their erratic behavior, they are, generally speaking, mostly narcissistic scumbags. We prefer to spend the majority of the time discussing how pathetic they are.
Casey claimed, that she worked at Universal Studios, but cops knew she actually didn't. But instead of calling her out on it, they did one better. They took her to the park, and they said, hey, why don't you introduce us to your boss? We need to talk to your boss. So she actually walks them into the park, goes through security. They wander around the park for 30 minutes, and she's taking them to all these,
they got on a roller
random
coaster.
Places. And then finally she turns around, and she looks at them, and she says, I don't actually work here. And they were like, yeah, we know. We just wanted to see what you would do and how far you'd let this lie go. And they took her back to the station. So on July 16th, Casey was arrested and charged with neglect of a child, obstruction of justice, and making false statements. The police bring the car in to really take it apart and search it. They bring a sniffing dog who goes totally crazy when he smells the trunk, indicating a dead body had been there.
Well, the smell, you know, I never smelt dead decaying, but from what I hear, it's a very distinct smell.
Exactly. There's also a stain in the truck that is roughly the size of a small child. They tested the carpet, and it had body composition on the carpet. They also found hair, and they DNA tested the hair. And the hair belonged to one of three people: Casey, her baby Kaylee, or her mother Cindy. But the hair strand they found had no hair dye on it. And Casey and her mother, Cindy, both had dyed their hair in the past.
But sometimes women let their roots grow out.
Sometimes.
But that's looking it's looking pretty closed and shut.
Well.
So that, as they would say.
They also found traces of chloroform in the trunk. And later, they found internet searches on the Anthony computer that says how to use chloroform. When they questioned the family about this internet search.
But you don't have to chloroform a little baby, so I don't know if that's that relevant.
Why wouldn't you? That chloroform.
Because they're little and I don't mean this in, it sounds terrible, but they're little and weak.
But you
chloroform a big person so they don't fight back.
Well, they found chloroform, they found this internet search. And Cindy now, I think she's real. Cindy is the mom. Casey's mom.
Okay, good, because I forgot.
She starts realizing, oh, shit, they're, like, really zeroing in on Casey. They think, they're starting to think that Casey did this.
Yeah.
So what does she do? She starts covering for her.
Get the fuck out of here.
So Cindy now starts backtracking, and she says, oh, you know what? I was searching for chlorophyll. And you know how searching on the internet is, like, a different word will pop up, and
you mean
chloroform popped up.
She hit him with autocorrect.
Yes.
There wasn't autocorrect. There wasn't even no iPhones then.
So chloroform came up, and you know what? I was just curious. I went down the rabbit hole. I clicked on it. It's like a super honest mistake. This is what she tells cops. But they also realized with timelines and work schedules that this search history was done when Casey was the only one in the home. Other words that they found on the internet searches were household defense weapons, neck breaking, death. Those were other words that were searched at the time that Casey was the only one home.
Well, you know, it's all search history could be a little fishy. If I ever die, someone clear my search history. We all look up weird shit, but not like that. No killing shit.
Exactly.
You fall down a rabbit hole of clicking weird stuff.
Yeah.
But this is starting to get me a little angry.
Yep. Just wait. So, cops realize that Cindy, the grandma, Casey's mother, wasn't even home when all these searches were made, and Casey was the only one there. So that's just another thing that they put on the list of why Casey probably did this. So now, remember Zanny the Nanny, Zenaida Gonzalez? Well, she was actually a real person.
That sounds like a rapper's name today. Like, she's like probably the best mumble rapper of 2023. She's coming out soon.
Well, she was a real person, but she was not Kaylee's nanny. And she was brought in and questioned.
She was her Xanax dealer, Zanny the Nanny.
Now, interesting you say that. I'm going to bring up a point later, but hold that thought.
Like Little Xan?
Hold that thought.
Cornball rapper who promotes drugs. If you promote drugs as a rapper, you're corny.
Zanny was not Kaylee's nanny, and she was brought in and questioned by police, and she was cleared. And after she was cleared, she was like, this is bullshit, and she filed a defamation suit against Casey because she was actually a suspect in a crime because of this girl, and she had never met this girl before.
Wait, she never met her at all?
No. She found this girl's name and found her address and claimed that this person who was a stranger that she didn't know was her daughter's nanny, and it wasn't.
Did she try to Google someone whose name would rhyme with nanny?
Who knows? I don't know how she did it.
Huh. Because sometimes if you file a defamation lawsuit against someone like who doesn't have a job, what's the point? Because you're not getting any money.
Because
you're suing them for practice. You're just like learning how to sue people.
Well, anytime if they win, then their wages will be garnished.
She doesn't have no.
But
wages.
She will eventually have to have a job.
Not her.
Anyway, so at this point, Casey now hires a very famous defense attorney named Jose Baez. And we spoke about Jose Baez because he was Aaron Hernandez's defense attorney.
Oh, wait. Was he the good one?
Yeah, he was the one that...
Not like good as a personality, but like good at his job with
yes.
the slick back hair and
yes,
stuff?
Yes, that's him. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
So the dude who we talked about in our True Crime episode, or True Crime and Chill episode...
On Patreon. Sign up.
So the judge sets her bail at $500K, and Casey's bail was then paid... And she was put on house arrest.
Who paid it?
I'm not sure if it was her parents, which I don't think so, or if it was Jose. I don't know. Casey went back to her parents' house and stayed there. And the media went ballistic. This became a media frenzy. They would camp out outside of this family's house. The whole neighborhood had had enough. They were like, yo, because it was like a mob outside of this house for months.
So they were camping out there like she was about to release the newest Jordans.
I guess, Russ. But she was stalked by media. She couldn't leave the house. It was crazy, which is fine because I hate her. So
they should torture her and they should follow her around. This is sounding like they should probably give her some medieval torture stuff.
So now, on December 11th, 2008, a utility meter reader calls police and says that he thinks he found a human skull. He had actually called police a month before and said that he saw something weird in the distance from the road where he was driving his truck, but no one ever checked it out.
How weird? What was it?
He didn't know. He just said he saw something like weird and he just wanted to let cops know. He didn't want to go over and investigate it.
Well, that's me. Like, if I see something weird, I'm not going to investigate. I was like, oh, that looks crazy. But I wonder what made it look weird. Was it like someone standing there?
No.
Was it a pile of dirt?
No. It was something there. And then after a month and him continuing to see this thing that he had a weird feeling about, he decided to park his truck, walk over and see what it was. And it was a human skull.
Oh, damn.
He decided to get close. When he realizes it was a skull, he calls 911 again, and they show up. They find the human skull with duct tape wrapped around it. And nearby was a bag with the rest of the bones from this skull, the rest of the body.
Was it a child?
Yes, it was a child's body. They look a little further away and they find a small laundry bag with a blankie with Winnie the Pooh and Piglet on it.
Oh, she didn't have to say blankie, bro.
I'm sorry. 8 days later, they have a press conference and they tell the public that they found the remains of Kaylee Anthony.
Fuck.
When they searched the Anthony home, they found that Kaylee had a Winnie the Pooh themed bedroom. And that the same laundry bag that they found that the blanket was in, they found like the laundry bag that came in a packet. It was like a, you buy two.
It was a set.
It was like a set. There you go. Thank you. They found the other laundry bag in the set because it was only sold in pairs. So this made it very clear to police that whoever did this had access to Kaylee, had access to Kaylee's stuff. Had access to Kaylee's bedroom mm-hmm. and her belongings. And Casey was then charged with first-degree murder.
Hell yeah.
May 24th.
Wait, did they DNA the car?
Yes.
Did I miss that?
They found the hair. So they found decomposition, but I don't think they can DNA test the decomposition.
I thought like, because if it's a decomposition, I thought there might be blood, but maybe it's contained within the body.
Yeah, so they didn't have blood in the car, but they did find the hair. So May 24th, 2011, the trial finally begins. It is insane. And the media is crazy. Every station is covering it. I remember this. I was working at Nikki's Beer Garden. And shout out to that place, that crazy ass place.
This was going on while we knew each other.
Yes.
You never brought it up.
Yes, I did. Because me and a few of the regulars, every time I was working during the time this trial was on, we had it on one of the TVs and we were all watching it with the sound on.
I must have turned it off for a Yankee game a few times.
You weren't there at the time. It was when I used to work the bar by myself. And the regulars and I would sit there and watch it and talk about it. And we were all convinced. This girl is guilty. She's going away.
Well, of course you're going to think she's guilty if there's no other people there investigating.
So originally they weren't going to allow the grandparents, George and Cindy, in the courtroom. The defense told them that they had to show zero emotion in order to be allowed in because their crying and showing any type of emotion would sway the jury. The media gave them a lot of shit for this, but at the same time, you have to remember, they made an agreement. Okay, we just want to be in there. We won't show any emotion. So the media twisted it and said, like, they're heartless and gave them a lot of crap.
Wait, but aren't there seats in the back that you could just go sit in?
They sat in the back row.
So I'm going to go sit there, and what you going to do? I could sit here?
The defense for their daughter, who was on trial, said, if you guys show emotion, you're getting kicked out. You're not allowed to be in.
So they... Well, I don't think they can legally kick you out. I think that...
I don't know.
But... Wait, so the defense... So they wanted... They wanted their daughter to get off. So that's why they're listening to the defense of their daughter.
Yeah, this whole thing is so weird.
These people are fucking idiots. They're probably just... Some people are so nice that it makes them dumb.
Well, there's a lot of... If you start reading about this case, there's a lot of people who think her parents were involved. But that's a whole other situation. So let's continue. Let me continue so you can hear what the defense brought up. Okay, go ahead. He's raising his hand, everyone. Go ahead.
Because I gotta pee.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm back. And I got a beer, too.
So I watched the whole trial the other day because
I'm the whole trial?
The whole trial. I watched it the other day. It's on YouTube. It's in like five parts. It
had to be a recap.
Nerd alert. Jose Baez made a very convincing opening statement. The prosecution's opening statement was not very good. And it was long. It was hard to follow. This dude, Jose, though, he gave a monologue type of performance.
He's good at them. Because when there's just, what is that called? Circumstantial evidence. That means they don't really know if you did it. And they're just trying to piece together random things.
It's true. This is all technically circumstantial. So.
Yeah. So if you have a good lawyer, you'll get off on circumstantial evidence every single time.
Not every single time. There's a lot of people in jail based on circumstantial evidence. Scott Peterson, Adnan Syed, those people are serving life sentences because of circumstantial evidence. So that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. But did they have public defenders with boot cut suits that covered their shoes and all you could see is the toe of their shoes? You can't even see the shoelaces. And they weren't well groomed with bad haircuts and they always have curly hair that's very big.
Oh,
because if you have a public defender, you're going down. They don't know how to defend circumstantial evidence. I don't know why.
Well, because never mind. We'll get into that another time.
They have a big caseload.
They do.
They do it for the people.
They do. All right. So anyway, I watched the entire trial. Jose Baez had like a monologue type opening statement, and it was pretty convincing. And you know, we know the state's case. The state's case is, in a summary, that Casey killed her daughter. She drugged her with chloroform. She used duct tape to wrap it around her head and block her mouth so she wouldn't, you know, scream when she woke up. And she suffocated she blocked her airway. And then she lied to everyone about everything. That's the state's case against her.
So, but all they're using is her internet search history, pretty much. And the decompositioning body in the trunk.
In the trunk. And the fact that she lied about the fact that her daughter had been missing for an entire month. The fact that she leaves with her daughter from the Anthony home and then shows up a few hours later to her boyfriend's house with no baby. She's the last person seen with the baby. Like, there's a lot of things against her.
That's true. That's true.
Jose says Casey didn't do this, but that the whole family is actually in on it.
But then Casey did it too.
This is what he says. That Kaylee drowned in their pool because she loved going swimming. So one day she was in the pool, she drowned and died. And the family then all together disposed of the body because the parents have a huge history of getting their daughter out of bad situations and rescuing her and lying for her. And it was a consistent story with her past and everything they've done to, you know, cover up all of Casey's bullcrap.
But now the parents are in the courtroom and they're letting this go, saying we all did it together.
So now they...
Because if this case is over... Now you all going to get convicted. All right, we got your daughter off, but you know, we just argued that you all three, you did it.
They didn't murder her. He's saying that she died from drowning and they just got rid of the body because they were trying to cover it up.
Good point, because is it a crime to hide a body if you think you're going to be convicted for the murder even if you didn't murder them? I don't understand that.
I do think that it is... Technically, it can be a crime, but I'd have to read more into the rules with that.
Because you could be scared, because you know that you could get convicted for anything nowadays. So that I understand that point. Shout out to Baez for defending a piece of shit.
So Baez also claims that Casey says she was molested for years by her father and her brother. And this is why she's such a party girl now. And Baez paints her as a sexual assault survivor that is hurt and self-medicates with alcohol and partying and men and
drugs.
What's
that have to do with the child? I understand something happened, but we're going to separate these two very bad situations you're talking about. What's that have to do with the child's life, and where the fuck is the child? Can the judge say, shut the fuck up? Where's the child? What's
well,
that have to do with
they found the child,
it?
Baby, but
there's
they
no
found
excuse
the child body, but
for
no,
getting rid
I get
of the child. I don't give a fuck what happened to you. That's terrible, and we will address that after this case. Russ, the Honorable Russell, the profiler, no, that has nothing to do with it.
Well, this broke her father's heart, and when he took the stand, because her father took the stand as a witness, but he took the stand as a witness for the prosecution. When he took the stand, he said, absolutely not. I have never hurt my daughter. Yeah, I was a gambler. Yeah, I'm bad with money. Yeah, I've done some bad things. I'm not necessarily the father of the year. I've done some bad things as far as money goes. But I would never molest my child. And he denied it completely. So the trial in general was a total mess. It was a circus. Everyone was blaming everyone. The media was insane. There were crowds of people outside the courthouse picketing, chanting. I mean, it was like something out of, like, they wanted her to come out and someone to, like, stone her in the street, the crowds outside.
What were they picketing?
They were saying, like, she's a murderer, convict her, convict her, convict her, she's a murderer.
Need street justice at that point. Do you know what you got to do? You just got to let her out. But you know what? You can't convict her with your damn signs and hit her in the head. You got to bing her in the head with a rock.
Well, finally on July 5th, after 10 hours of deliberation, they had a verdict. Casey Anthony is not guilty.
Oh, shit.
Everyone was shocked and outraged. People lost their mind. It was literally like heads exploding outside.
Wait. This bitch is free right now?
She's free right now.
Get the fuck out of here. This bitch is free.
Yes.
What is she doing?
I'll get to that. Just let me finish. So she was convicted to 4 misdemeanors, sent to jail for 1 year, but she had already spent 3 years in jail previously before her trial and on house arrest as well. So she was released from prison on July 17th, 2011. Earlier than her year for time served plus good behavior.
Yo, fuck this Baez dude, bro. He just likes getting off these obviously guilty people.
After the trial, Casey filed bankruptcy because, you know, she had no money and she cheated her parents out of 40 grand and then she didn't have jobs, so she couldn't pay her lawyer. So homegirl did what she did best. And she was allegedly seen with Jose having sex with him in his office. Paying off her debt to him.
Who saw it?
People that work with him in the office.
I feel like she's not worth that much money. She'd have to have sex with him for about 5,000 years to pay off her debt.
Also, later in 2017, it was released to the public that 48 hours prior to the disappearance of Kaylee Anthony, the computer in the household, the computer search history was deleted. So all the search history that the cops found was found after, you know, it was deleted. That's just suspicious in general.
I thought that when you delete history, it doesn't really get deleted. I think like nothing in a computer really gets deleted. Like,
well, that's the point. They could still find her search history, but it's just the point that she deleted it.
Yeah, like a computer.
Like it looks suspicious. In 2017, Casey Anthony did an interview. Like a where is she now type of interview. And she pretty much says in the interview, I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks of me. And I'm just living my life. And I don't care what you think.
You know what I'm hearing right now? She reminds me of the girl on Dr. Phil. Like, catch me outside. How about that?
Yeah. She's very condescending. She's cocky for no reason. Well, it's not really for no reason. Her whole life, she's gotten away with lies. And gotten away with everything she's done bad because she had her parents to save her and then she got away with murder.
And now you could catch her on OnlyFans showing her butthole.
So when she was asked in this interview what happened the day that Kaylee went missing, she says that it went like this. She woke up briefly in the morning, early in the morning, when she heard her mom leaving for work. And Kaylee was in the bed with her sleeping. She was sleeping in the bed with her baby. And then she fell back to sleep. When she woke up a couple hours later, she was gone. And that's it. And that was the last time she saw her daughter. And that's what she claims.
What's her excuse for like saying, I didn't say nothing about it?
She doesn't have one.
She didn't care.
She doesn't answer that question when asked. She just avoids it.
It's not a crime to not care.
No.
So if the child really went missing, I mean, obviously she did it, but it's not a crime to not care.
It's not. You're just a scumbag piece of shit. That's it. You're a terrible mom.
Yeah.
So now her goals are to open a PI business. And that's what she's doing with her life.
She's not opening shit.
Living with this private investigator that was on her case, this guy who was the private investigator for her defense team. She's living with him and now planning to open her her own PI business.
Yo, there's a sucker born. There's so many suckers out there with low self-esteem that if a woman will like give them a little caress or a little sexy time, why'd I use the Borat term? But if a woman will like show you some attention, they'll just do anything. These low self-esteem dudes with mustaches will do anything.
I think he actually does have a mustache.
Yeah, I already knew it. I knew it. He had a mustache. You didn't even have to tell me. He's a cornball. In New York, we call you corns. You a corn, bro.
Well, that's it. That's the case.
Yo, who's this dude? Let's look him up.
I'll look him up after.
Everyone look him up, send it to me, and let's send him mad messages of corn. He's a corn ball. Put like a, let's Photoshop like a mustache on corn, and that's his image. I don't know how to Photoshop, neither.
Well, that's it. I'm done talking about her. This is why I hate Casey Anthony, because her daughter was murdered, and she didn't give a shit. And it's clear she did it, and she got away with it.
Well, it's
and
not
this, no, it's clear. Don't start with me. It's clear. And you know it's clear.
It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear.
And I put a poll on Instagram, and there were 7 people who said that she's innocent, that she didn't do it. And then my next story was, after that's poll, I put a story and said, if you believe Casey Anthony is innocent, send me your reasoning why with your, you know, best defense argument, and no one replied. Actually, one person replied and said, I heard the family was in on it, and I said, yeah, that's what the attorney said, but that's clearly not true.
Yeah, but this is the internet, and you're easily triggered, and there's a lot of trolls, and I also put not guilty because I knew it would be fun. So, because I'm not actually like...
Well, you didn't even know the case.
Yeah, but I saw it. So there's a lot of people out there that do shit like this.
No, there was a bunch of people. It was 6 of them besides you.
You take the internet too serious. Internet is fake people. Anyway. Even though we're on there, our internet persona, it's all just fake people. Clicking polls. We all love to click polls. You can't help it. Have you ever clicked the wrong answer by mistake and just left it? I've done it a million times.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a touchscreen.
Well, we'll see. If you believe Casey Anthony is innocent, I want you to send me a message and tell me why.
Don't.
Do it.
Or you know what? Tell her why. It'll get Jess mad. It'll be pretty fun. You know, it's very easy to troll people on the internet because people actually care. I mean, I care. I don't want the kid to go missing, and she probably did it.
Well, no, the kid is dead, Russ. Well, the kid is murdered.
No, she did it.
Yeah. This poor innocent baby. She would actually. It's interesting that we're doing this case now because, as of now, this month, August, she would be 16 years old.
Oh damn! So this lady was born in August. Like 13 years or so.
Yeah. So.
I wonder if she has a job. She don't have no job.
No, I just told you. Oh, that's right. She's doing the PI thing.
She's showing her butthole.
She's doing the PI thing.
If she did, she'd probably make a killing because there's a lot of kooks out there.
Maybe, but OnlyFans got shut down.
No, it's back.
No, they're not allowed to have any like pornography on there anymore.
No, I'm an OnlyFans connoisseur.
No,
they're
you're
back.
Not. You don't even. I'm deleting that. No. I don't want anyone to think that you look
I'm
at
not.
OnlyFans.
Just leave it. No,
no, I don't.
They reneged on it because that's where most of their money comes from. If they delete all the people showing their tatas, they got nothing left. They got, what do they got? It's basically Patreon.
Yeah, that's what it was meant to be originally. It was Patreon, but then they started using it for sex stuff. So, all right, well, that's it. That's our case this week. Stay tuned for our next episode.
I don't subscribe to any OnlyFans. If you take me serious, we have a disclaimer in the beginning that says, I don't take myself seriously and neither should you.
Okay. All right, everybody. Well, have a wonderful week and glad you got to spend some time with us. And we will talk to you later.
Peace.
Bye.